I'm grateful to be back tonight, and I'm grateful you chose to be here tonight to worship the Lord with us, and I'm excited about starting a Sunday night series, so I hope it'll be a blessing to you as it's blessed my heart. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter number 3 or 4 this morning, or this evening. Excuse me, I can't even get it all. Ephesians chapter 4, if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This evening I want to give you a start of the sermon series, Maintaining the Unity of the Church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the night that you've given to us. Lord, we're so grateful we get to come together, Lord, freely and to worship you. And Lord, I'm so grateful for the song service that has been already performed before us, Lord. What a great time we had, Lord. And I'm just so grateful for the beautiful music that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray that you'll just be with us as we go into the preaching part of the service, Lord, that you'll just bless it. Lord, I pray that everything that is said will be honoring and glorifying to you. And Lord, I do pray for those who are not here tonight, Lord, I pray that you'll bring them back to us. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with the ones who are here, Lord. I pray that if there's one here that knows you not as their Savior, that they would get that settled tonight. Lord, we sure do love you. We would give this time for you to you. We pray that you'll use it for your honor and your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to talk about the plea of the unity for unity, maintaining unity of the church. And this is the first that I want to point out is the plea for unity. In verse 1, Paul calls the church to remember where they came from and all that the Lord has done for us in Christ. He uses the word therefore to start out chapter 4. And basically it calls to us the minds that he has taught up to this point in the book of Ephesians. He has been writing about doctrine, about precept and belief. Now he turns his attention to duty, practice and behavior. The phrase at the end of verse 1 reads to the end of verse 1, it says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And I believe that's worthy of to look at a glance at it. The word vocation refers to a calling or to a career. It refers to that of a person's life work. The calling we received from God to come to Christ by faith is not a call of a temporary call. It's not a weekend getaway, so to speak. It is a lifelong commitment. It's a lifelong career. It's a lifelong calling. We are called to live differently because we now know the Lord Jesus. And we're called to walk differently than what the world is walking and what the world is doing. We are to live in such a way that we are to walk worthy. It says we are to live our lives that are worthy of what we have been given in Christ. The word worthy means a balance of the scales. We are to live lives to prove that we know the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to live lives like that glorify Him to this lost and dying world. We are to live in such a way that we balance the scales with God. Having told this, what God expects from us, Paul now moves us to tell us how we are to bring this to pass in our lives. How do we walk with this? How do we do this? He mentions this in verse number 3 and again in verse number 13. If you look back at our scripture verse, chapter 4, verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The idea of unity means an agreement. It simply means that we are to walk together as one in the Lord. And let me just pause tonight to say that the unity should be the goal for the church. We should be unified in this. The book of Ephesians is about God's grace that reveals itself in our salvation as part of the process, the idea of unity. Consider these truths. God's grace unites the Trinity in bringing us to God. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse number 4, we see the Trinity. The Father chose us unto salvation. If you look back a page over, I believe it's a page over in my Bible, but in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4, the Bible says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, many people will take this verse and say that this is predestination, that people will say, well, this means that He has chosen you to be saved. No, He's not going to force you to get saved. What it means here is that He knew those who would be saved before anybody was saved. He knew this. And it's a chosen believers to live with Him. By the way, God wants every single one of us to live with Him in heaven. I believe that every single person that has walked on the face of this earth, God wants them to be in heaven with Him. But look, He gives us a free choice. He gives us that free choice of whether to take His salvation or not. But the Father chooses us into salvation. The Son redeems us through His blood on the cross. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You see, the Father has chosen us unto salvation. He wants everybody to come to heaven. And Jesus, the Son of God, redeemed us through His blood on the cross. The Holy Spirit seals us for all eternity. Ephesians 1 verse 13. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You see, once you get saved, you are sealed forever. You're saved forever. You can't lose your salvation. There's a lot of religions today that say you can lose your salvation. But we don't believe that. We believe that once you're saved for all eternity. Now, does this give you a free license to go out and do whatever you want? Absolutely not. No. We should strive to do the work of the Lord. We should strive to seek His will for our lives. But the Spirit of God seals us for all eternity. God's grace unites the Jews and the Gentiles together in one body, and that is the church of Jesus Christ. God's grace in salvation reconciles us, or it unites us to Him. I want to listen to these verses. Philippians chapter 1 verse number 27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And listen to Romans chapter 12, verse number 6. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. You see, and listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. If the Lord is interested in the unity of His church, then we should be interested in it as well. I believe that in verse number 3 in our text, we are called to keep, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 3, endeavoring to keep. This means to maintain the unity of the church. And tonight I want to spend a few moments to talk about this. And too often, you know, can I tell you, we're not always on the same page. We're not always going to be in agreement with things. But we should strive to have unity in the church. We're not always pulling together for the glory of God. Too often we each have our own agendas that compete against the good of the church. But this text tonight is a plea for unity. And I want us to take these verses and to bring out some challenges about maintaining the unity of the church. Number one, I want to share with you the words of this plea. The words of the plea. Look back in our scripture, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, I want to take this verse tonight and kind of break it down. First of all, is the words of the plea. It says to endeavoring. The word means to hate, to be hasty or to be zealous. It suggests that we allow nothing to hinder us from speedily striving to secure the unity of the church. You see, it speaks of a holy zeal that demands constant attention. When we want to have the unity of the church, we need to be hasty. We need to have a holy zeal about it. Well, what do we need to be hasty about? It says the next word is to keep. And we already mentioned it means to guard here, to maintain, to guard. Notice that that verse does not say to create unity in the church. It says to keep. Because you cannot manufacture unity in a church. You cannot create it. We cannot fake unity. We can only protect. We can only guard the unity that we already have. But we need to keep. What is it we need to keep? Paul says it, the unity of the Spirit. This phrase reminds us that the unity, the agreement, or the common ground within the church is not a product of our efforts to make unity. It's not a product of our efforts. It's a product of the Holy Spirit. See, it says the unity of the Spirit. This agreement, this common ground, is that which is produced within us by the Spirit of God. We are to maintain this unity in the bond of peace. The word bond is what binds together, that which binds together, or a band. It says we are to have peace. We are to bind together peace, which speaks of harmony. The belt that binds the church together in unity is peace. We need to have peace in the church. Amen. And you see, when we are at peace with one another, we can be effective for the cause of Christ in this lost and dying world. When we have peace in the church, we're able to keep the unity of the Spirit. Pretty good study, I believe. And that verse is just jumped off the page. And the words of the plea are just powerful. But I want you to notice there's also a witness of this plea. The witness of this plea. The church has no greater testimony than when we are united in Christ in spite of our differences. You know, by the same rule of that, there is no greater slander against the cause of Christ than when a church is at odds with one another. Because when people look at us and they see we're not in unity, they think we're no better than they are. But when we're unified in Christ, when we're of one mind, when we're not at odds with one another, then we can be have an impact on this world around us. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 17, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, and that they may be one as we are. We are let me get a drink because I'm losing my voice. We are a diverse bunch of people this evening. We are different. Praise the Lord, we're different. I'm glad that you're not like me and that I'm not like you. Amen? We are different from one another in every single way that you can imagine. I'm not like Brother Artis. I'm a lot shorter. I'm not like Brother Jack. I'm not like Brother William. I am a totally different person and they're different from me. And I'm sure they're praising the Lord for that. But see, we are very different. We're different physically. We're different intellectually. We're different economically and spiritually. And that all competes against the idea of unity. Yet with all our differences, there is one common ground amongst all of us here at the church. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are born again, saved, child of God, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside you. And that is the same common ground between you and me. We may have different hobbies. We may have different lifestyles. But the same that we have is Jesus Christ. And that is what keeps us in unity. And that's what should be the main focus of our unity. When we came to Jesus, the Holy Spirit took up residence inside you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. You can flip over there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. The Bible says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Romans chapter 8, verse number 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." When he is in you and he is in me, he can cause us to move past our differences and walk together in unity for the glory of God. When we are at war with one another, we have lost our testimony with the world. When we're at war, when we're at odds with one another, when we walk out of unity, we are telling the world that we are no different than they are. Down through the ages, through the world, there have been these peace treaties, and there have been these peace agreements, held conferences and whatnot to bring peace. Every single treaty man has signed from the dawn of recorded time has failed. Why? Because in Isaiah, it says in Isaiah chapter 48, verse number 22, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." Look, man, you cannot manufacture peace. The only peace you can have is the peace of God. The world cannot find peace because they have no ground for peace. It may just put a Band-Aid on it. It may just put it down for the while, but they cannot have true peace without the power of God, with God at the center of it. We are to be different. The Spirit of God dwells inside of us in every believer to guide, to direct, and to cause them to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which always leads to peace within the church. When we walk in the peace we have been given through the Spirit, we magnify the Lord and show the world that there is something different about us. When we have God at the center of our church, when we have God in the center of our lives, and we're in unity with that, it shows the world that we're different. The world looks at us and they're like, "Man, they are different than we are. How is it? How are they such at peace? How are they doing that?" It's because we have God at the center of our lives. If we have Jesus Christ at the center of everything we do, we can be sure, rest assured, that we will have peace throughout our lives. But you see, Paul speaks about humility in verse number 2. Look in chapter 4, verse number 2. It says, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." Paul speaks about humility, gentleness, patience, and loving tolerance. Every one of these spiritual characteristics flows out of a genuine love for one another. Every one of them comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit within our hearts. And we'll talk about these in the coming weeks, but I just wanted to get that out. But for now, I want to say that it's God's will for us as His people to walk in unity, all pulling the same way toward glorifying the same God. Number 3 this evening, I want to share with you the wisdom of this plea. Not only the words of this plea, and not only do we need to see the witness of the plea, but I want you to notice number 3, the wisdom in this plea. Walking in unity does not mean that we will always have the same ideas about every single thing. We won't. We're all different people. We have all different opinions. We have different opinions from time to time. And this is both healthy and good. There needs to be diversity in some ways in what you think and believe. But walking in unity does not mean that we will always believe the exact same thing about every issue that comes up. And it does not mean that we should lose our as an individual when we are saved. But what it means is that we are marked by a common purpose and led by a common Savior. It means that when the Lord gives us a clear direction, we put aside our personal beliefs and we strive to do what's best for the church. And you see, it does mean that we put the unity of the church is more important than getting my own way or getting your own way. What it also means is that it comes ahead of my own personal agenda. It comes before my feelings. Nothing shows the world that we are different from them in our walk any more than our being different in this specific area. When we see when they see us at odds, we can forget talking about the gospel to them. We will not reach them for the Lord. If they see our testimony and what we're doing and that we're not walking in unity and we don't have peace, we can forget it, because our actions speak louder than our words. You know, they can look at you. There are people watching you this evening. The world is watching you. Now, you may tell them the gospel of Christ. You may present them, and that is good. That's what you should do. But here's the thing about it. They're going to watch what you do as well. And actions speak louder than words. Amen. You see, what you do, what you say can be different than what you live. I heard it said before, you need to live out what you preach. Amen. That's just not referring to me. That's referring to all of us. You need to live out what you're saying. But when they see us walking in unity, when the world see us walking as one, it could be just phenomenal what God can do in this community, in our city, in our country. It's wrong for there to be division between you and me tonight. It is very wrong to have because we can disagree on some points, but it is wrong to allow our personal opinions and preferences to drive a wedge between you and me. It's not worth it. Those things should not be in the church. We can have different opinions on things, but when we come together and make decisions, we ought to be of one mind thinking, what does God want for this church? Not what does the pastor want, not what does anybody else want. What does God want for this church? But then, by the way, this is God's church. This is not my church, even though I can claim it as my church because I am a part of this church. You can claim it as my church because this is where you worship, but this is God's church. Amen. And this is where we ought to be interested on what he wants us to do. And as a church, we have seen our share. I believe that maybe this church has seen its share of disunity over the years. I know I've seen it in other churches that I've been a part of. And you may be remembering those things. And maybe with a few exceptions, maybe some of those things have gone away. But the scars of the turmoil are still there. You still remember things that may have happened. Some people who used to come don't come anymore. And I believe that I've seen that in churches that I've been. Maybe the church has suffered financially at one point in time. Maybe we have suffered spiritually and emotionally. Yet, can I tell you one thing? I'm still saved tonight.
Yeah.
And you are too. You're still saved by the grace of God. We still have that common ground. If we are saved, the Holy Spirit lives inside you and inside me. If we allow him to fill us with his presence and with his power, he will bring us to a place of absolute unity for the purpose of the cause of Christ. When he does, we will see the Lord work around here in ways that we never could have imagined. I believe we need to come together as a church and ask the Lord to help us to stay in unity, to ask him to, even when those, maybe in the past, maybe there's somebody that maybe has offended you. Maybe you have been offended by somebody. Let me tell you that we need to let that go and forgive them and try to walk back in the unity of the church. Maybe you have offended somebody. We need to be aware of that and make it right. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 21, 22, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That doesn't mean you get to do 490 times and then that's it. That means continuously you continue to forgive those people. Maybe somebody has wronged you, and some people have wronged me before. Look, you need to keep forgiving them. And maybe you have been the one that has offended somebody. Go to them. Make it right. Make that relationship right. There's no better way. Look, God can bless this church if we're walking in unity with Him. If we're of one mind, if we're doing what God wants us to do, God will pour out His blessings upon Grace Baptist Church. I believe that. I'll give you a funny illustration and then we'll close. Anybody remember the Lone Ranger? Yeah, the Lone Ranger. I love watching those old cartoons or the series. It's not a cartoon, my bad. The Lone Ranger. My grandpa used to give this illustration. The Lone Ranger and Tonto were riding through a canyon together when all of a sudden on both sides they were filled with Native American warriors on horses dressed for battle. Lone Ranger turned to Tonto and asked, "What are we going to do?" Tonto said, "What do you mean we, white man?" Now, that's a funny illustration, but that's what some people in the church think from time to time. What do you mean we? You know, it never should be that way. We are in this together. We're in this fight for the Lord together. And there's going to be our adversary. The devil is going to pursue us and try to get us off of unity. Satan will come into the church and just go between two believers and try to say, well, he's wrong and he's right. And we'll try, and he'll try to get that. But that's because we know we're doing what's right for the Lord. Look, there will be things that go wrong and there will be differences of opinions, but we need to stay on track for the Lord. There must be peace, there must be love, and there must be unity. Tonight, I ask you, would you pray for the church, for Grace Baptist Church, that will continue to walk in unity for the Lord? Pray that God will help you to work toward keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what we need to do tonight. And we'll go through this later on in the next coming weeks. But the first is obviously the plea for the unity. Tonight I ask you, tonight I plead with you, we need to have unity in Grace Baptist.